Ashley. He's here for a scholar resident, Shematon, at Green Road, and he is Rabbi Chanderson's Rebbe, and so he's very excited to be here with him this morning, as are we all. So please give your a warm welcome from his Rebbe to Rabbi Chanderson.
Okay, thank you. Thank you, Rabbi Bruce. So I want to start with three shout-outs. I'm in a school in New York, and some 12th grader says, where do kids come to Gush from? I want to know what types of kids come. I say, well, to be honest, we take kids from across the country. So what do you mean? We've got a lot of schools here in New York. We've got TABC. Who heard of TABC? Frisch, who heard of Frisch? Yeah. SAR, who heard of Maya Note? So I said, you know what? The easiest thing would be for me to take, let me tell you about a school that's called Fuchs Mizrahi. We want boys from Fuchs Mizrahi and girls in our girls program because you guys crush it. Because you guys here. Okay, maybe not the basketball team, but aside from the basketball team. Maybe not the team, but the girls and boys that come to our yeshiva from here, you guys have such great middos, and you love learning. You have such great teachers. You come from such great community, and such great love for the land of Israel, and such great awareness of the society you lived in, as you said before, as the rabbi read that letter. So I want to shout out for every single one in this room, and for your teachers, because you guys rock. So let's get a big shout out. The only problem is, that's not a shout out, that's a whisper out. I want a shout out. Come on, guys. Yes. My second shout out. And I want to be serious, because like all these shout-outs were really impressive, and the one who picked up the garbage, and the teacher, and everything. But talk about a shout-out for 45 years. Could you imagine shouting someone out because of what they did for 45 years? That's not a shout-out. That's a thunder-out. So I want a thunder-out because one of the people in this world that I like the most, and I like spending time with the most, and that I learn the most from by watching him behave, is sitting right there, and his name is Rabbi Blau. And I know a lot of people. Okay. You can take all those books there in the library. I mean, they're Sifrei Kodesh. You don't need them. You need to look at people who are great people, who have great midos, and you have a walking Sefer Torah every single day of your life. So that's a really big shout out. And you guys are really, really lucky. I wish I lived in Cleveland. Well, not really, but I wish I was able to see my blah every day. But here's my third shout out. My third shout-out is not to you guys in this room, and not to Rabbi Blau, but to my grandmother. Why am I shouting out my grandmother? Let me tell you my grandmother's name. You know her name. My grandmother's name, wait a second, she's also your grandmother. You know that we got the same grandmother? And in this week's Parsha, we read about where she was buried. And what's the name of that grandmother that we all, every single person in this room? What was her name? Rachel. Okay. I'm calling the other yeshiva. I got someone for you. Okay. Shout out. Shout out for Sarah. Okay. Who was the first great Zionist leader who brought our people back to their land. What was his name? I'm shedding my watch. I don't go over that. What was his name? Theodore?
Yeah.
Come on, you guys all know. What's the Herzl pose? You know, we got Miranda and Anna. We got the Herzl. This is the Lenin pose. This is the Herzl pose. Come on, do the Herzl pose. You want to do Zion's going to have Harris, a famous picture. There you go, you're Zion. Okay. But who is Herzl's successor? Seriously, who is Herzl's successor?
People don't really know. His name was Max Noriel.
So Max Nordy, you go to any city in Israel, and there's a main drive as well as the street. There's also a Nordau Street, like Washington Street and Lincoln Avenue. Max Nordau is a really, really silly Jew. He's so silly that he married a Christian and not Jewish. And they have big questions about whether he should succeed Herzl in changing history.
So how does Max Nordau
become part of Jewish history when the guy really married a Jew?
Terrible. I'll be honest with you. I try to have a big heart for every Jew.
Some people do more, some people do less. You gotta love every Jew. I can't, someone that just walks out of Judaism like that, I can't process it. Someone I knew growing up, married or not, I can't part from that. I wish I could, to be honest, I wish I could. I just can't. It's just such a betrayal.
So how does this guy become part of Zionism?
He has this.
Max Nordau was a doctor in Paris around 1903, 1904.
Famous doctor. Now in Paris in 1903, the Jewish community was deeply split. All the from traditional Jews living in the rundown sections of town,
and all the posh assimilated Jews who weren't so orthodox
lived in the elegant part of it. Very low time. One day, a citizen couple comes running into Max's office and says, Dr. Nordau. Our 12-year-old daughter, our 11-year-old daughter, she's deathly ill. She has this chronic illness. None of the doctors in Europe can help. Can you please help her? So sure.
He takes the case. A full year, treatments,
medicines, research. After an entire year,
she's ill.
Family looks at Dr. Nordau and says, you saved her life. Please, give us the dog. We don't have much, but, money's not everything.
Trust me, money's not everything.
We want to give it to us as a sign of gratitude. And Dr. Nordau
starts cracking up. He says, I know where you guys come from. You're from the other side of town. I know where you guys. I see the way you're dressed.
I give you a bill, in your life, you won't make enough money to pay one visit, let alone a year of treatments, research, conferences. Is that the but we have to pay you. But it's a joke, he says. I'll put the bill as a joke. He says, I'll tell you what. This little girl says,
just kiss me on the cheek as a sign of gratitude.
The girl turns beet legs. He says, I just turned by myself. And my rabbi said, they said, oh yeah, she no longer be kissing that woman.
Okay, he says, tell me what you learned today in school, and that will be pain.
He was punched by a kid. And she said, we learned today in school that Yaakov, see, I come from Brooklyn, so let me tell you a word in Brooklyn. Yaakov's asking Yosef to take his body back to Israel, hundreds of kilometers, and he didn't have the decency to bury Yosef's mother in Maris and Machpelah in Hebron. As we used to say in Brooklyn, Yaakov's got some splaining to do. He's got some splaining to do. Good. It's a little bit hypocritical, right? Take my body, go all the way back to Shem in the north. And I just ditched your mom on the side.
got some splaining.
Yaakov does explain. He says she died on the roadside, and the simple reading is, Vani bevoybi padan mesele rachel vokim azeret zavar kvasa zek brasha. Because the body is going to decompose, and it's hot. But Rashi gives us the real thing. Rashi says, the real dope is that Yaakov had a vision. He saw that now we're all together in Egypt, and we're triumphant, and the Jews are respected, and this is a great golden period of Judaism. But one day, Jerusalem will be in ruins, the Mikdash will be smoldering, Jews will be marched out of Jerusalem in chains. You know, 100,000 Jews were taken to Babylon in chains by Nebuchadnezzar after the first phase of the Mikdash. Nebuchadnezzar told his henchmen, "Want you to walk amongst the columns of Jews, and if you see any Jews crying, you have to take their place. Because if they cry, they not listen. And if God listens, then we're healed. So if you see someone crying, they got your sword and slice it off." Could you imagine losing your brother, or your sister, your mother, or your grandfather, and all of them, and marching in chains for a couple weeks on the way to Babylonia, and you know how to cry? They can only start crying when they reach Babel. I'll never go to Babel, and the words of Babel, Shem Yashav, and I'm going to start crying. Because they weren't allowed to cry before. But they're going to stop by the roadside. The rest. And you know what happened that night in heaven? There was a riot. There was a protest. All of our avos and imos were enraged with Hashem. Said, Hashem, how could you let this happen to our children? We love you so much. We serve you in this world so much. We dedicate our lives to you so much. And this is how you pay back our children? You burn them, make us, and you exile them? Hashem says, I'm your wife. You tell me about all their accomplishments? Did you see their betrayal? Did you see the way they behaved for 4 years? Quiet. And then Sarah says, you dig your pit and you line it. There's one person that night whose voice can't be quiet. Who's the one person that Hashem has to listen to in Shemayim that night? Rachel. And you know why? Listen carefully, boys and girls, because Rachel does one thing in Sefer Bereshis that no one else does, and it's the greatest act of courage. Even more than sticking your neck out, even more than being a slave in Egypt. Everyone watching, you know what Rachel does? I'll show you. It's pretty simple, but pretty hard. Look at me. This is what Rachel does. Pretty simple. Pretty simple, huh? It's called stepping aside and letting someone else have this. Because it's her night, and it's her wedding, and it's her marriage. And her father's swapping in her sister for her. She doesn't want her sister to be embarrassed and shamed. Think about it the next time you bully someone on WhatsApp. You see something mean to someone on Facebook. Your grandmother's not too happy in heaven. Because she steps aside, and Hashem has to answer Rachel. Hashem says, Rachel, don't worry. Don't be bad. It may seem long, but it won't. It'll be quick. It'll pass like a shadow. They'll come back, Rachel. Right now, they have to be in Babel. But maybe he will ask me about it. Stop crying. This is okay when you're in. Okay, stop crying for 1 second. One day we'll come back. That's the same song we sing when people make Aliyah. When people make Aliyah in Yeshiva, I guess other places in Israel, they get an Aliyah, the whole base manager rocks. They'll come back home. So Rachel, don't worry, wait. That's the case. So Yaakov says, that's why Barry Rachel on the roadside. Because it's not just the roadside, it's the roadside of Jewish history. She needs to be. So don't accuse me of being a hypocrite. She needs to be there. That's what I learned today. This little 12-year-old girl tells Max on the forums. Dr. Nuna looks at this 12-year-old girl and tells her, you have lived in Paris your whole life.
Your grandparents lived in Paris their whole life.
Your great-grandparents lived in Paris. Jews haven't lived in Israel, in Palestine, in 1,800 years. It's a nice story.
Do you think it's going to come true?
And this little 12-year-old girl looks up at Max Nordau and says, Yeah, of course, it says it in Rashi. Like, why not? It says it in Rashi. Mind blown. He says to himself, the love before my people and my country is so deep that 12-year-old kids in Paris feel it. I want in. I want a part of that. He takes his stethoscope off, hangs it on the wall, and says, I'm going to change Jewish history. I'm going to bring people back home. So big shout out to Brian. Because she changed history. And now it's 100 years later, 115 years later. Guys, girls, that's why I live. I wake up every morning. I say good morning to my grandparents. 10 miles south, 6 of them. 10 miles north, Russia. That's what you guys have here. That's what makes it supposed to be. If you ask me, the school in North America, that really isn't here. There? Okay, you put some more over here. But your money's in arms are there. This is it. The answer to all that 12-year-old school girl. Paris. You're living in Cleveland, great, what do you call it, keyboards, Ungers, Jacobs Field, I don't know, my best friend is here to walk this whole thing. It's the whole day long. You think Cleveland is the center of the earth. I know it all. Right, Watson and Mandel, right? Like the checkerboard cake, it's not checkerboard cake. It's all great. But you guys are really good. So the final shout out is not just to you guys for being good in school, and not just to Rabbi Blau for being a superman, and not just to Rachel for being a grandmother, but a shout out to your hearts, because you're here, and I know your hearts are here. Have a great Shabbat, everyone. Thank you all.
Thank you so much. Thank you so much.
Thank you.
Did I tell that story on the phone?
I don't know.
Ginsburg, did I tell that story on the phone? No, I don't tell that story. See, I got a couple of new stories up
my sleeve. It wasn't part of his favorite.
Same as in Charlotte.
The
gorilla.
Don't have done.
All ninth grade students, come sit over here, please.
Okay. I'm bringing you amazing
stories. I can climb onto an island with a couple of people.
Okay, so let me talk to Avi. Avi, I want you to meet before, and everybody knows you.
Do you want me to talk?